KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
This is KAEB 91.9 on your FM dial. Your one-stop shop in Sandpoint from classic oldies to banging new modern.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, delivering the essentials for everyday life in the last frontier. Learn more at madsen.com/Alaska.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The head of a project touted as a solution to climate change and criticized as a threat to the world's oceans wants Kodiak to be its next home base. The potential Gulf of Alaska project does not have formal support from local, state, or federal governments at this point in time. Still, the company is considering the waters offshore from Kodiak as one of the few potential sites for its next ocean pasture restoration project. KMXT's Davis Hovey has more about this contentious project.
I'm Russ George from a company called OPR Alaska, which means Ocean Restoration Alaska.
The man is a walking controversy. Businessman and plant ecologist Russ George has been plagued by lawsuits and was previously investigated for potentially illegal activities by various entities, including the Canadian government. Now, George and a company he founded, Ocean Pasture Restoration, want to roll out a pilot project in the Gulf of Alaska.
We're looking to do 3 years of projects in Alaska. We want to do both in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea.
He advocates for fertilizing specific areas of the world's oceans with a half a shipload of iron dust to trigger massive phytoplankton blooms. He claims those blooms would restore the world's oceans and act as massive carbon sinks that could nearly negate human emissions while restoring fish abundance. And although the scale is global, he claims the cost would only be in the millions. Representatives from Ocean Pasture Restoration Alaska, which George founded as a startup in 2020, according to reporting from Undercurrent News, presented their project ideas to the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly on Halloween last year. The organization is trying to garner local, state, and federal support for a proposed 3-year pilot project in the Gulf of Alaska, operating out of Kodiak. But none of the entities, including the assembly and state legislators, have introduced a resolution or letter in support of the project to date. OPR aims to dump iron dust into the Gulf of Alaska this summer. George says he's running out of time to get Alaska politicians on board.
We're not a big company. And we have to sort of put our attention where we find that we're most welcomed and most encouraged. And we're frankly finding that it's the, buck passing, wait and see attitude. Alaska might just miss the boat.
He says he's also looking at California and New England as potential sites. George introduced his organization and projects to U.S. Representative Nick Begich III during this year's Commercial Fisheries Trade Show in Kodiak last month. George also offered Begich draft legislation and a draft executive order.
I'm here to sort of give you a package of why we need the President Trump and why we've been invited by President Trump to have him issue an emergency order, an executive order, which declares the condition of ocean health and productivity in Alaska is in a state of emergency, and we can get on with the applied methodologies of repairing it.
George claims he is not at liberty to share the documents with the public because he's still dealing with the White House. He also did not offer proof that he was actually in touch with President Donald Trump, and the White House press office did not reply to KMXT's request for comment. In the moment at Comfish, Representative Begich did not weigh in on Georgia's proposition, but a Begich spokeswoman later said in an email that when it comes to policy decisions regarding Alaska fisheries, science and data need to come first. And the underlying science is in dispute. Several scientists who spoke to KMXT and international researchers who have published their findings on ocean fertilization agree that adding more iron into the ocean will cause phytoplankton to bloom. But scientists and published research disagree that the bloom will add up with Georgia's carbon sequestration estimates. It's also unknown which marine species would be affected and how. Gwen Hennin is a phytoplankton ecologist with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She mainly studies phytoplankton and algal blooms in the Gulf of Alaska. She says the naturally occurring spring bloom of phytoplankton is incredibly important for the food chain in the Gulf of Alaska. But Hennin says warming waters and adding iron dust could cause a phytoplankton bloom that becomes harmful to the ocean ecosystem and humans.
It's generally thought, based on people's understanding of the biology of Alexandrium, which is a causative agent of paralytic shellfish poisoning, that Alexandrium is more likely to bloom when water conditions are warmer.
Hennin says generally scientists are unsure what factors cause some phytoplankton blooms, which lead to algal blooms, to become harmful and produce toxins. But that's something she and other researchers on board the research vessel Sekuliak are studying this month. For example, in one experiment her graduate student conducted, Hennin says they collected iron poor water offshore in the Gulf of Alaska, then bottled it and added iron dust.
And so that was a little bit of a surprise to us, and kind of unfortunate that by adding iron to that iron poor water, we observed the generation of more harmful algae.
Hennin points out that this was just one experiment. She says there is a lot of uncertainty about what would happen if iron were added to offshore waters. In 2012, Russ George tested his controversial theory on an eddy off the coast of Victoria, British Columbia, roughly 200 miles west of Haida Gwaii. George, in partnership with the Haida Salmon Restoration Corporation, dumped 100 tons of iron dust into the ocean and caused a massive phytoplankton bloom. Estimates based on satellite imagery put it at 10,000 square kilometers. The legality of George's experiment and what happened as a direct result of that human-induced bloom is in dispute. The following year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game recorded a record commercial fishing season for pink salmon statewide. George points to that as a direct result of his experiment in Haida Gwaii, but scientists say it's not clearly linked. Kodiak resident Rob Lindsay is a true believer and partner in George's ocean pasture restoration. Lindsay, a commercial fisherman in Kodiak off and on for four decades, believes that putting iron dust into the Gulf of Alaska could restore the abundance of red king crab, shrimp, and various salmon species that historically were Kodiak's bread and butter. The populations of many of those species have crashed in recent decades. He admits that there is a need to study the potential effects of ocean pasture restoration further, but Lindsay says there won't be more data on the effects or any way to study it without trying OPR's method first.
It's that catch-22. You got to study it, but you got to do it to study it.
Scientists like Hennin argue the potential risks and harm ocean pasture restoration could cause in the Gulf of Alaska is not worth the uncertain benefits that might come from putting iron dust into the ocean. In 2008, the United Nations put a moratorium on ocean fertilization projects like OPRs, in part because there was not enough scientific knowledge about its potential effects. Russ George has written that moratorium off as mythology, according to reporting by The Guardian. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Havi.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
National Maritime Day was May 22nd, a small but important holiday recognizing the hard work that goes into a career at sea. Alaska is home to thousands of mariners, including fishermen. KUCB's Andy Lusk linked up with some maritime professionals and sent this audio postcard.
Come on, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Ready?
I'm ready.
Can I pick up people, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
My name is Caroli Gaspar, and I drive in taxi.
And you were a former fisherman?
I used to fish, yes, the last 30 years, yeah. I just quit fishing 2 years ago, yeah. Actually, I was 32 when I left Hungary, you know. We never worked more than 8 hours. Saturday, Sunday, we never worked. And was all right. But I think I did better here. We feed all world from here, China, Russia, Europe. Everywhere this fish go. Yeah, India, everywhere. Japan, a lot of fish.
One thing that I will never get used to here in Dutch Harbor are the prices in the grocery stores.
Timothy Davis, and I am a cook at the Norwegian Rat Saloon. Before all of this started, I was a family therapist. I had my master's degree in psychology from the University of Rochester. I did that for 7.5 years, and I was fed up with it. So I quit, and that's when I first got into the hospitality. And then I moved out here, cooked at the hotel, and then I went on the fishing boat. Most of my friends are fishermen, and I'm always listening to their stories about being out there. So I thought to myself, well, you know what, Tim? Why don't you try cooking on a boat? Let's see if you can do that. You know, everything's moving. It's constantly moving. Let me see what other experiences on a boat. Cooking on a vessel that's constantly in motion. You know, like when you're trying to make a fettuccine or you're trying to bake a cake. That was the hardest thing, was trying to learn how to bake a cake on a boat. Well, I learned that every 15 or 20 minutes, just rotate. Just rotate. And if you keep doing that, at some point it starts to solidify and then you're good.
All right, take care, you guys. Have a good one.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Steve White, I'm the executive director at the Marine Exchange of Alaska. I've been here for about a little over 4 years after I retired from 31 years in the Coast Guard. I'm from Idaho originally, way back in the day, and knew really nothing about the ocean or being a mariner. And because of sports, football mainly, I ended up going to the Coast Guard Academy way out on the East Coast. Once I graduated from the academy after 4 years there, my first tour was on a ship out of Kodiak, Alaska, and that's really when the hooks got sunk into me and fell in love with it.
David Arst. I am currently a Marine pilot with Alaska Marine Pilots, based out of Dutch Harbor. When I was sailing at sea, I'd be gone 75 to 90 days at a time in and out of port during that period. It just depends on the kind of ship you're on and the kind of run you're on. You're there to move cargo, whether it's liquid cargo or bulk cargo or containers. It's a challenging job. And if you're looking for responsibility and things like that, a maritime career is a great place to go.
That was KUCB's Andy Lusk speaking with local mariners and other industry professionals from around Alaska.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Unquestionably, it was the fight of the century. Yet it was only the first of many to come. The World Series of 1903. That was the first World Series in baseball history. A contest between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Boston Red Sox. And you know what? For the first game in that historic first ever battle between the National League and the American League, the Red Sox manager sent to the pitcher's mound, of all people, Denton Tecumseh. And the record book now confirms that he was the losingest pitcher of all time. Why Boston decided to start him against Pittsburgh, well, that's something as significant as the World Series itself. You see, Denton Tecumseh's theory of baseball pitching was that a pitcher should let a batter hit the ball as often as possible. That way, Denton said, your arm won't get so tired. And it seemed in the first game of that first series, Denton's theory was working out, sort of. Pittsburgh's first two batters did get some wood on the ball. They did go down in order, but then almost literally the game was over. Because that second out was followed by a Pittsburgh triple, a single, a stolen base, an error, a double steal resulting in a run, and a score after one inning was Pirates 4 and Red Sox 0. You gotta hold him, Denton was told as he went to the mound in the top of the second, and he did his best. The first batter was Pittsburgh's Beaumont. Denton actually struck him out. Next batter, Clark, hit a single to right, but he got overconfident, tried to stretch it to a double. He was thrown out, two down. The third batter, Leach, flied out to right. So it appeared that Denton Tecumseh had turned things around. But then in the third inning, Pittsburgh's Bransfield blasted a triple off him. Then Sebring singled to right, scoring Bransfield. Now it's 5-0. The Boston pitcher's peril continued in the seventh, an RBI, and then a home run. Now the Red Sox were done. Oh, they did manage to squeeze out a couple of runs in their half of the seventh and one more in the bottom of the ninth. And yet the defeat of the Boston team at the hands of a supposedly inferior National League club, the defeat, the ignominious defeat, was charged to Denton Tecumseh, who was to lose more games on major league mounds than any other player in baseball history. If you forget everything else I say about Denton Tecumseh today, I want you to remember two things. First, he was the losingest pitcher in all major league history. But then I want you to remember one thing more. Today's visit's going to give you a new perspective. When later this season, awards bearing his name will be passed out to the best pitchers in baseball. You see, not only did Denton lose more games than any other pitcher in history, a total of 313, he won more games as well, 511 of them. And it's this latter record for which the sports world hails him, a hurler who was actually 2-1, a hero and a bum, Denton Tecumseh Young, whom you know as Cy Young. And this year, when the Cy Young Awards are passed out to the best of the best of the pitchers, you'll know the rest of the story.
You're listening to Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski is emphasizing her support for Alaska's Ukrainian refugees. That was her message to about a dozen Ukrainians during a meeting Thursday in Delta Junction. In recent months, the Trump administration has suspended programs that support their stay in the U.S. and paths to employment. Trump also signaled this month that he'd like to deport hundreds of thousands of refugees. Murkowski says she wants to keep them here.
To think that that families would be sent back, they might be forced to return to a very, very unsafe situation is not where I think we want to be.
Delta Junction is home to about 150 Ukrainian refugees. Many joined the town's pre-existing Slavic community after Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022. Community members told the senator that they're anxious about whether or not they'll be returned to their war-torn homeland. Some families have bought land and have started to build their own homes in the community. Murkowski says she's hearing reports of immigration and customs enforcement officials seeking information about Alaska's Ukrainian community. She says she's sympathetic to the community's concerns and that Ukrainian refugees are strengthening Alaska's workforce and economy.
It's hard to find workers, and they have been exemplary in the work that they do. One is in construction. He's trying to build some homes, and he has great workers within the Ukrainian community and want to keep them.
The senator says she's worried about the direction the current administration is headed with refugees from Ukraine, as well as other people who have fled to the United States from conflict. But at this point in time, she said she doesn't know the future of the refugee resettlement programs that allow those families to stay. Searchers have located the remains of one of the two men who were missing after a skiff they were traveling in sank near McCoryuk, according to Alaska State Troopers. The body of 65-year-old Albert Williams was located on Wednesday on the east side of Nunavak Island, around 20 miles from McCoryuk, troopers say. Local individuals, Alaska State Troopers, a Coast Guard vessel, and a Bethel-based National Guard helicopter joined in the search. The body of a second man who was missing, 72-year-old Samuel Shavings, has not been located. Troopers say that the search for his body has been suspended after extensive search efforts by boat and air. Three men were traveling in the Ocean Pro skiff when it sank on Monday, according to troopers. One man was able to swim to shore. The local searchers who found Williams' remains plan to transport his body back to McCoryuk once ocean conditions allowed for safe passage, according to a trooper dispatch. This is Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Morning News is brought to you in part by
Matson, delivering the essentials for everyday life in the last frontier. Learn more at matson.com/Alaska.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
This is Statewide News from Alaska Public Media. I'm Ava White. In the Anchorage School District, a recently introduced curriculum for young students learning to read is making a major impact. It's a big deal in a state where students have historically scored low on standardized reading tests. But as Alaska Public Media's Tim Rocky reports, implementing the new lessons is not without challenges.
Katrina Mulholland is teaching her kindergarten students at Denali Montessori Elementary School how to read.
Remember, you're going to put your tongue right behind the top of your teeth, your front teeth, and you're going to turn your voice on. Feel your mouth.
It's all about separating the letter sounds that make up a word.
I lost you, so.
It's harder to make those sounds when you're missing teeth.
This lesson comes from the University of Florida Literacy Institute's Foundations Reading Curriculum, or as many people in the Anchorage School District call it, UFLY. Denali Montessori is among 25 mostly elementary schools in the district using UFLY. And after just a year and a half, teachers and school leaders say the results are incredible.
So this is the first year we used UFLY from the very beginning of the year to the very end of the year, and we can actually see student outcomes.
That's Shearston Thomas. She also teaches kindergarten at Denali Montessori. According to district data, about half of Denali kindergartners scored well above the benchmark on a mandatory literacy screener this spring, compared to just 36% before UFLY was adopted. It's a significant jump in a state where children have long performed poorly on standardized reading tests, a data point that lawmakers, including Governor Mike Dunleavy, often point to in school funding debates. But Thomas and other district teachers and leaders highlight that while UFLY is working, it's not without major challenges. The district adopted the curriculum in part to comply with the Alaska Reads Act, which requires teachers to communicate with the parents of struggling readers and provide interventions for those students. The problem? There's no money to help fund all the extra work. Dunleavy championed the Reads Act, which became law in 2022, but he vetoed the roughly $5 million last year meant to support its implementation in schools. Thomas says teachers need more resources for all the extra responsibilities.
I am happy to reach out to families to let them know their kids are making progress or are not making progress, but it's a lot of extra on the teachers with no plan or funding, and it's very concerning to me.
UFLY is very similar to other phonics-based reading lessons, but gets more specific. Students are taught the relationship between speech sounds, called phonemes, and the letter combinations used to make those sounds in writing, called graphemes. In an email, district spokesperson MJ Tim says many schools are showing growth similar to Denali since starting the UFLY curriculum, but he says additional funding is needed for all the elements that make UFLY work. Students are currently on summer break, but in the fall, teachers will support a new group in learning to decode letter sounds and starting to read for the first time. They'll receive a check mark for each lesson they complete, something kids in Mulholland's kindergarten class love.
What is it? A check mark!
Check mark! Go ahead and do the train. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, choo-choo!
But educators still wonder if their efforts will be supported. As the district spokesman put it in his email, quote, "For this to be done well with a focus on what is best for students, it needs to be funded," end quote. In Anchorage, I'm Tim Rocky.
This is Alaska Public Media.
It's a beautiful
Yeah, another beautiful morning in paradise out here in Southwest Alaska. Oh yeah, it's a gorgeous day. No wind. Well, I had a lot of wind in when I was in Ketchikan. That was kind of strange. It blows a little bit there, like in Seattle, but not pretty much every day like here. Here it's like the winds are born. That's what they say about Scotland. It's the same here, it looks like. But anyway, let's move on here with Johnny Horton with Rock Island Line, and then Freddie Fender with "We'll Lose a Good Thing." After that, Jerry Reed with "Are You from Dixie?" Because I'm from Dixie also. And we'll play those three. But first, I must remind you, at 10 o'clock, we have a preseason meeting for all the salmon fishermen. We should broadcast that here on KSDP. If you miss it, you can view our website. It should be on there. Here's Johnny Horton.
Now this here's a story about the Rock Island Line. Now the Rock Island Line, she run down into New Orleans. And just before you get into New Orleans, why, they got a big toll gate. Where you gotta pay the man just some money. Of course, if you got certain things on board, you're okay. You don't have to pay the man nothing. Right now we see a train, she pulled into the station. Man, he stick his head out the window and he yelled out to me. I got pigs, I got horses, I got cows, I got sheep, I got all livestock, I got all livestock, I got all livestock. Now, man say, boy, you okay? You going through. You don't have to pay nothing. Told the man he going through. Train get on down away from the station a little bit wide. Starts picking up a little bit of speed. Then starts picking up a little bit of steam. Driver to think he's safely out of sight of the man, so he stick his head out the window and he yell back down the line at the man. Well, I fool you, I got pig iron, I got pig iron, I got all pig iron. Now I tell you where I'm going, boy. Down a Rock Island line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island line, she's a mighty good road. If you ride it, gotta ride it like you finally get your ticket at the station at the Rock Island line. Well, A, B, C, W, X, Y, Z. The cat's on the cover, but he don't see me. Down a Rock Island line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island line, she's a mighty good road. If you ride it, gotta ride it like you finally get your ticket at the station at the Rock Island line. Well, I may be right, I may be wrong. I bet you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Now, Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. If you ride, I gotta ride it like you finally get your ticket at the station at the Rock Island Line. Then the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line is a road to ride. Yeah, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. If you ride, I gotta ride it like you finally get your ticket at the station at the Rock Island Line.
Hello there, neighbor. How do you do? There's something I'd like to say to you. Are you from my homeland? My sunny homeland? Oh. Now tell me, friend, could it be? Yeah!
Well, all right. You from Dixie? You from Dixie? Well, this old boy's from Dixie, too. Listen.
Are you from Dixie? I said from Dixie, where all the fields of cotton long to beckon to me. Well, I say how I be. My, it's good to see you, baby. And how's all them friends back home I long to see? Well, if you're from Alabama, Tennessee, or Carolina, any place below that Mason-Dixon line, then you're from Dixie. Hooray for Dixie. Caught this old boy's from Dixie, too. Dropping on him, son.
Coming up next, Stanford Clark with The Fool in 1966, and then Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt together with Farther Along, and then Eddie Raven with I'm Gonna Get You.
Gather round me, buddies. Hold your glasses high. And drink to a fool, a crazy fool, who told his baby goodbye. Too late, he's found he loves her so much he wants to die. But drink to a fool, a crazy fool, who told his baby goodbye. He needs her so. He wonders why he let her go. She's found a new love, buddy. A lucky guy. So drink to a fool, 'cause I'm that fool who told his baby goodbye. He needs her. He needs her so. He wonders why he let her go. She's found a new love, buddy. He's a lucky guy. So drink to a fool, 'cause I'm that fool who told my baby goodbye. Who told my baby goodbye? Who told my baby?
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are never molested, though in the wrong.
we'll understand it all by and
And up next, we have Asleep at the Wheel is going to do a letter that Johnny Walker sent, I guess. And then Chris Christopherson with The Promise. And the long riders after that with Looking for Lewis and Clark.
Johnny Walker sat at a table in a bar, minding his own affairs, drinking his namesake over the rocks. He was drunk, too drunk to care, when a girl from the bar walked up beside him, and this is what she said. She said, a woman came by with a letter for you, and this is what the letter said. John, he got up from the table, slowly he walked outside. He was thinking of his wife and little children at home, and how his drinking had ruined their lives. Then John, he stared off into that street light, and a vision filled his poor, poor heart with dread. For it was him lying drunk there in that gutter, clutching in his hand the letter that Johnny Walker read. And this is what it said.
Dear John, please, Johnny, please come home. I need your love and the kids, they gotta be fed. And John, if you don't hurry back, I'll be gone.
Yes, that's what the letter said. The letter that Johnny Walker read.
Dear John, I need your love and the kids, they gotta be fed. Oh, and John.
Here's another song I wrote for my kids and their mamas.
You gave me back my soul again by showing me the laughter and the wonder in your eyes. Save me from the shuttered man I used to be, and opened up the windows of my life. And the happiness you've given me for loving you is sweeter love and deeper every day. But I can't stop the changes that you're growing. Someone new from stealing you away. So darling, when it's time, you can spread your wings and I'll set you free to fly away.
it's okay. 'Cause darling, time changes everything, but it won't change me. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Waylon Jennings will take us to the top of the hour here with I May Be Used by... Whoa, what's it say? But Baby I Ain't. I May Be Used, but Baby I Ain't. There it goes, Waylon Jennings.
Well, now, baby, you're a looker, and I know what you're looking for. You've been looking over every man at the bar. Well, honey, I know I got a few years on you. But if you're shopping around, let me tell you a thing or two. Well, I look a little rough and I got a few miles on me. My body needs work and my style ain't what it used to be. And honey, I'll admit this place is where I'm wearing thin. But I ain't broke down, I just couldn't hold again. Well, I may be worn, but baby, I ain't worn out. Let me take you for a ride and I'll show you what I'm talking about. I guarantee there's a lot of me left to love. Well, I may be you, but baby, I ain't used up. No. I've been wrecked a few times, and honey, it shows, I guess. There's been once or twice that you could say that I was repossessed. There's one little thing that I think ought to be understood. It ain't how you look, it's what you got under your hood. Well, I may be worn, but baby, I ain't worn out. Show you what I'm talking about. I guarantee there's a lot of me left to love. Well, I may be you, but baby, I ain't you still. Check it out.